We've all heard it. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
I just returned from Sudan last Sunday. They say it differently there. The pastor begins, or whoever, by saying, God is good, and the congregation responds, all the time. And then the pastor or whoever is leading the congregation says, all the time, and the people respond, I'm a witness. That really made me think when I heard that the first time. Remember that, because we're going to say it at the end. Let me begin this morning by saying that I believe witnessing and discipleship are all about church health. As I look at our host and conference congregations, I believe the majority of them are healthy. I also believe I'm healthy. Now, having said that, I can also acknowledge to you that I could be healthier than I am right now. I could lose 5 pounds. I could exercise more regularly. I could get more sleep at night. I could be healthier. And just as our healthy congregations are healthy, I also believe they could all be healthier. So how do our churches become healthier? How do we reflect our health through our witnessing and discipleship? You'll remember 2 years ago at the annual conference session when we all participated together in the vision process. We asked 2 questions to which the people present responded in writing. The first question was this: in light of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, from God's vantage point, what would our church look like if we truly lived out these texts? What would we look like as a local congregation and as a conference if we fully embraced loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves? What would we look like as local congregations and as a conference if we truly went into all the world to make disciples of Jesus Christ? And again, reflecting on the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, the second question asked, in what areas is God crying out for us to respond with urgency and risk-taking faith? From the responses to these 2 questions, the vision writing team compiled a 78-page single-space bullet list of every answer we received from the annual conference. Not only was it 78 pages single-spaced, it was in 8-point type. And this writing team lived with those responses for several months. We read them and reread them and read them again. And from those responses, we developed a list that we called our spiritual longings for more. They've been printed in your conference book of reports, and I'm sure you all read them and remember them, right? Well, they're directly related to our discussion here today. These are the things that the people of Holston Conference, including every one of you, are longing for. We long to be more evangelical, reaching out to the unchurched and those who have left the church. We long to be more inclusive and diverse, to move out of our comfort zones and reach out to those who are different, and to be truly inclusive of all, regardless of ethnicity, race, gender, socioeconomic status, age. We long to be more active and effective in outreach and in mission to those in our neighborhoods and those in the world. We long for growth in terms of deepened spirituality and commitment, and in terms of having people join our church. We long for more action, less talk, more going out and doing. We long to move from institutional maintenance to mission. We long for less politics and business and more living out of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. We long for more lay and clergy teamwork. We long to be more prophetic and less complacent to what goes on around us, to not be afraid to speak out boldly against those things that are contrary to the kingdom of God: poverty, war, oppression, injustice, addiction. over and over and over again, as we studied those responses, we heard the people of Holston Conference saying, "We long to be a witness to the world." These spiritual longings came directly from the people of Holston Conference, including every one of you. Yet they clearly address what we are about here today. The people of Holston Conference are yearning for evangelism, for witnessing, for discipleship, for reaching out beyond the walls of the local church. I want to mention to you the form that's provided to you every year in your charge conference packets through which you apply to be a church of excellence in evangelism. Use that form as a tool to guide you in what it means to be an evangelistic congregation. Use that form to guide your church in reaching new persons and making disciples of Jesus Christ. I also want to mention to you the Denman Evangelism Award. Nominations are due very soon to my office. Look at the persons who are selected each year to receive that award, not as, wow, they've done great work, but in terms of what can we learn from these persons to use in the work that we do. In preparation for today, I looked very carefully and closely at some churches in our conference that are receiving new members each year on profession of faith. I wrote to several churches in each of the 12 districts and asked what they're doing to continue to receive new members year after year on profession of faith. What are some of the best practices that these churches are using to respond to the Great Commission? Now, before all of you turn me off and say, yeah, and you wrote to the big churches that have large confirmation classes every year, I will share that one of the churches I studied very carefully began the year 2006 with 15 members, and they finished the year 2006 with 29 members. 14 persons received on profession of faith. That was a pretty statistically significant increase, in my opinion. I'm not just talking about large churches or mid-sized churches in what I'm about to share. I'm talking about all-sized churches in our conference. When I received the responses from the congregations and pastors to which I wrote, there were some common themes. There were some best practices that I kept hearing over and over again in the responses I received. Here they are. Number one, vital and energizing worship of varying styles and at varying times of the week. The churches over and over again said they found that to be critical to their growth and their health. The importance of worship cannot be overemphasized and was mentioned in every single response I received. Along with the emphasis on the importance of worship, was an emphasis on varying styles of worship as well. One pastor wrote of his passion to remove the clock from worship. His services frequently last 2 hours or more. And what he said was really interesting, and more people are coming every Sunday. The second thing I heard from many of these congregations is that working very hard at becoming a welcoming congregation is critical to the work that they are doing. They are intentionally reaching out to visitors. Many different ways were mentioned, by making sure the people in their congregations understood the importance of greeting visitors, including some who deliver a loaf of bread to first-time visitors within 3 hours of the end of the worship service, or a coffee mug filled with information about the congregation. Or a church that hosts a quarterly dinner for every person who's visited that church for the first time during the previous 3 months. They mentioned intentionally inviting new persons in the congregation to participate in Sunday school or Bible study of some sort. I will tell you that I frequently visit in the churches of Holston Conference. My pastor will tell you that I've only been in my own local church 2 Sundays this year. Never have I been invited to participate in Sunday school in a church that I visited. And yet these congregations report that consistently they make sure when a first-time visitor walks through the doors of that church, that person knows that he or she is invited to participate in Sunday school. The third thing that I heard repeatedly from these congregations that continue to receive members on profession of faith is that they are intentionally encouraging persons in their congregations to invite other persons to their church. Invite your family. Invite your neighbors. Invite your coworkers. Invite the person working in the convenience store on the corner. Invite intentionally persons to come to your church. One pastor wrote of intentionally creating a culture of invitation and hospitality within the congregation. A fourth thing that I heard repeatedly from the congregations that are growing was this. Many who responded mentioned very intentional ministries to reach out to younger persons and to families with children and youth. One of the saddest moments I've had in this position in the last 7 years came during the time we were doing our Safe Sanctuaries training throughout the conference. And we had one congregation that said to us, "We don't need safe sanctuaries. We don't want children in our congregation. We don't have any now. They're not welcome." I submit to you that that's most likely a congregation that will be dead in a very short time. Intentionally create ministries that are welcoming for families, for children, and for youth. Some of those that were mentioned include Parents' Day Out opportunities, which bring persons into the church who might not otherwise be there. Another pastor wrote about special services held periodically throughout the year to which the entire community is invited, and their day-long celebrations. For example, the Sunday before the 4th of July every year, they have worship on the grounds of the church, invite the entire community. They have games and food, and the celebration goes on all day long. Everyone in the community is invited. The pastor described that as a great come event for their congregation. Another common theme mentioned by the churches is the offering of their buildings to persons in the community for very little or no charge. For example, two pastors specifically mentioned homeowners associations and making their building available to local homeowners associations for use for their meetings. One pastor said, "We're present to welcome them to the building and then to open their meeting with a prayer. It's a very effective and easy evangelism tool." And another pastor who mentioned the very same tool said this, "This brings the not yet Christians into the building, thus quieting their fear of that first step through the door of the church." Almost every pastor who responded mentioned providing many mission opportunities for members of their congregations. Our members are longing to reach out to their neighbors and to the people of the world. Along those same lines, many mentioned being in ministry in the immediate neighborhood surrounding their buildings. Who are our neighbors? What are we doing to be in ministry in a 1 mile radius around our building? What are we doing to reach these persons with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we intentionally inviting them into our churches? Even if they look or sound or speak or smell differently from us, what are we doing to be in ministry in our immediate neighborhoods? And almost every pastor who responded mentioned encouraging intentional faith sharing by their members, either in worship or in other regular settings. One pastor said, "We view every single worship service as an opportunity for evangelism." I want to close by noting 2 points from this list of best practices from our healthy and growing congregations. Did you notice how many times I used the word intentional? That one word appeared in every single response that I received. We must be intentional about leading persons to Jesus Christ. Very, very few persons will find their way to Christ on their own. We must be intentional. We must work hard at this. And second, not one pastor who responded to me used the word I in his or her response. No pastor of a growing church is doing it, is bringing about the growth on his or her own. All used the word we repeatedly. Pastors speaking to you today as a layperson who is a member of this conference staff, we are in this together. Clergy and laity must work together to reach persons for Jesus Christ. We must help persons become comfortable in sharing their faith with the people around them. We must work together to reach persons for Jesus Christ. Let me close with this story. I did mention that last Sunday I and 14 others returned from a mission trip to Sudan. While working with some of the lost boys here in Holston Conference before leaving, and again while in Sudan, I was impressed over and over and over again with the ease with which the Sudanese people share their faith with others. They share it openly and without apology. On our second full day in Yei, a carload of us went to the customs office for about the fourth or fifth time because we were still trying to locate our truckload of supplies that had not yet made it into Sudan. At that point, I was pretty tired, and it was over 100 degrees outside, and I opted to stay in the car. Our driver was a young man named Elias, who is an UMCOR worker in Sudan. He stayed in the car, too, and as soon as everybody else got out and went inside, Elias immediately turned around to me and said, "How long have you been a Christian, Ann?" And I kind of laughed and said, "Well, Elias, my father was a United Methodist minister and I was raised in the church. So I guess it's fair to say I've been a Christian all my life." He said to me immediately, "That's not the case for me." He said, "I've only been a Christian for a few years. And yet how Christ has changed my life in those few years." And for the next 10 minutes, while everyone else was inside, Elias shared with me in a simple and very profound manner his faith story. Now, friends, I grew up in the church. He knew I was there representing the church. And yet he shared with me his faith story. How many of us are comfortable with that? How many of our church members are comfortable sharing their faith story openly with everyone around them, even when you know that person is already a person of faith? I believe that we need to help our members become comfortable sharing their own faith stories in simple and profound ways with everyone around us. And when we do that, we in Holston Conference, like the people in the church in Africa, will see unprecedented growth. And we will see growth in leading persons to Jesus Christ in the most amazing ways. I hope and pray that each of us will intentionally work for that to happen. And when we do, we will truly be living out our conference vision statement. God envisions bold, passionate, and joyful communities of faith where the spiritual hunger to worship God and to serve Christ sets disciples on fire with spirit-filled, risk-taking love for all of God's children. God is good
all the time.
I'm a witness.